Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, my precious brothers and sisters. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church with our dear sister, Sister AJ. Well, I don't know about you saints, but I can't wait for this show. It's a show that has me all wound up. It's a show that every single Wednesday when we end the show, I am left wanting more, only because this man, Dallas Jenkins, provokes me to zeal, provokes me to stand up and defend Jesus. This has been a great series, an outstanding series. Jesus versus Hollywood, Hollywood versus Jesus. And I hope and pray that this series has been an eye-opener for you, and more than just an eye-opener, that it has been a blessing. You know, years ago, Hollywood would look to movies or would look to do a movie of Jesus or a movie on any Old Testament character. Like there have been movies like David and Bathsheba, Ruth the Moabite, another series called The Bible. And all of these movies were done with great, great reverence, great respect for the Bible, for biblical characters, for the biblical story. But today, that has changed dramatically. And the Bible is mocked. The Bible characters are ridiculed. And that ought to get your... That ought to get you up from off your couch and say they're not doing that to my Jesus. They're not doing that to my Bible. So I am so looking forward to this show today. And let me remind you that if you're in need of prayer, if you're in need of a miracle from God, if you're in need for God to do something special for you, if you're in need of divine intervention, send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. I got to tell you, I've been pretty sad for the last couple of months because I make this announcement for every show, and I hardly ever get any more prayer requests. How disheartening that is. Now, on the one hand, we can say, well, everybody's doing okay. No one's going through anything, and everything is peaches and cream and hunky-dory. But I know that some of my brothers and sisters have to be going through something, and we would love to have an opportunity to pray for you. And like I said, I look at the email every day. I go to powerofprayer@gmail.com. I look at it early in the morning, and I look at it in the evening, and I hardly get any more prayer requests, and that to me is disheartening. But we'll continue to make the announcement. We'll continue to offer our prayer, and if you need it, send us the prayer request, and we promise to keep all your prayer requests confidential. Yesterday, we were in studio to celebrate Sister Marie's 250th broadcast. And again, we say congratulations to that milestone. And we pray that Sister Marie will do many, 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 many more shows to continue to do shows until the Antichrist decides to kick us off the air. So we had a great time yesterday. We were talking about critical race theory. We were going over some Bible verses that talk about God and justice, which, by the way, the ungodly can care less about God's word, can care less about true justice. But as a Bible program, and that's what we are, we refer to the Bible all the time. The Bible is our canon, is our rule for faith and living. We're always referring to the Bible, and that's what yesterday's show was. We went through 17 Bible verses that talked about justice, and we looked at them, and we compared them to today. And sadly, my brothers and sisters, sadly, today, in many, many instances, not in all, but in many instances, justice is being perverted, is being corrupted, especially with bribes. So I want to encourage you to listen to that show. Also, I'm asking for prayer. I have to be away for a few days. A dear friend of mine, a dear colleague of mine, went home to be with the Lord. And so the homegoing service, there's going to be three homegoing services. One is tomorrow night, and that is for the local church members, and the local church members are going to have an opportunity to get up and share with the rest what this pastor meant to them. And so that's going to be Thursday night, tomorrow. And then on Friday is the denominational service where all the denominational bigwigs, and by that I mean jackass church bishops, are going to show up. And, when the jackass church bishops get together, you know what's going to happen. There's going to be manure in the stable. So I just have to pinch my nose and just sit there and watch. But the denominational bigwigs are going to show up, and of course I've been asked to be there, and I'm only there for my friend. That's you know, and I know that this person has gone on to be with the Lord, but I'm there to ensure that the person's honor and reputation is not marred by the donkeys in the church. And then Saturday morning is we're going to take a trip to the cemetery, and the body will be interred. So it's going to be 3 days, me, you know, and of course I'm leaving early tomorrow morning, Thursday. It's a long, long trip, over 5 hours to get to where I'm going. And of course, you know, checking into the hotel and all that stuff, and getting my family situated. And so it's going to be 3 days where we have to be away from home. So pray for traveling mercies, and just pray that all will go well as we celebrate the life, a life of a servant of God who did right by her Lord. And so, all right, without any further ado, let me bring on my dear sister. And Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. It's dark, gloomy here. We're going to be getting a lot of rain now for the next 3 or 4 days. Now, where I'm going, I don't know what the weather's going to be like there, but I do know here it's going to be three days of rain. This is the first day of September, and my wife is already bringing out the quilts, the sweaters. It is freezing. It is freezing.
Wow.
Where we're at. Very cold.
Wow.
Very, very cold. So, you know, it's, and I'm looking out my window now here in this little studio, and the leaves are already starting to turn, and leaves are already starting to fall to the ground. So it seems like, you know, last day of summer is September 21st anyway. So we only have 20 more days to go before summer's over and autumn is here. So that's it. But listen, you got me all riled up here with this guy. This guy's got me mad.
Right.
And
right.
And, you know, what ticks me off is that this guy is smug. You know, he's a smug character. You look at him. He's smug.
Yes. Yes.
Right? He's like, you know,
in the way that he makes excuses for what he's doing.
Right. And he's like, he tries to be Teflon, you know, nothing will stick to him. No, you know, no statement, no question. You know, he's Teflon, you know. And
right.
But I'm just amazed how this guy can be brought up in a home where they're talking about Left Behind day and night. And here's one who, unless he repents, you know, he will be left behind.
Right.
Because this is just awful.
Right. But even people that are, a lot of folks that are raised in what you would think is a Christian home, and even if the parents taught them right and had them in a good church, sometimes it doesn't always mean that the child is a Christian, or maybe they walk away from it at some point. So yeah, I have to wonder about Mr. Jenkins, considering how he responds to any criticism about his show and how he just makes light of some of the changes that he has made in these characters and creating these stories about them. Because as you said in your intro, there used to be a time where Hollywood has always been Hollywood, but they still tried to show some sort of respect for the story, and they stuck they may have added a few things, but it wasn't something that just completely distorted the story. They tried to stay true to the narrative in the Bible, but Dallas is saying he's going to just deviate from that formula. And I don't know if you remember seeing some videos where he was wearing a T-shirt or a hoodie or something that said, "Get used to different," which is for sale on his website, by the way. So this is the type of different that he's talking about, the way that he chooses to tell these Bible stories. And some of the changes he makes don't even make any sense to me. Like, for instance, last week we started the fifth episode, and at the beginning he did this reenacted the scene of Jesus at the temple when he was 12 and Mary and Joseph looking for him, but he even changed that around. And it doesn't seem like that was a necessary change, so why do it that way? But I guess he's just someone that doesn't have a respect or reverence for the scriptures. Maybe he doesn't love the Lord like he pretends. And this is more about him than Jesus.
Right.
Because he wants to be this success in Hollywood.
Right, right. Look, a few things. There's that old movie, Ben-Hur, with Charlton Heston, right?
Yeah.
Now, that movie is not about Jesus.
Right.
It's called Ben-Hur. It's about a Jew who has been wronged and enslaved and turned into a Roman slave, and then he finds his freedom and, so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. But in the movie, at the tail end, when Ben-Hur comes back home, he realizes that his mother and his sister were thrown into a leper's camp, right? And, they have a death sentence. They're living, not that they have discovered that they have leprosy, but the leprosy's so far gone that they're living in a leper's camp, right? And so in the movie, at the tail end, now again, the movie is not about Jesus. It is not about the Lord. But at the tail end of the movie, Jesus meets up with Ben-Hur's mother and sister, and he heals them, right? Mm-hmm. So you look at that movie, and you say, okay, Jesus is not the main character of the movie. He's not.
Right, right.
But the main character of the movie, Ben-Hur, is kneeling before Jesus, thanking Jesus, right, for healing his mother and his sister. So, Jesus wasn't the main character, at the end of the story, Jesus is the main character. Because no one can save like Jesus. No one can heal like Jesus. All of us are on a death sentence apart from Christ. You see, and that's an old movie that did Jesus justice. This guy is doing Jesus a disservice, a blatant disservice, an awful disservice. The other thing I would say about this guy here, to think that he is more inspired than the Holy Spirit. I mean, think about the kind of pride you have to take Holy Ghost-inspired accounts and say they're not interesting. Therefore, I'm going to write my own account.
Right.
Can you imagine telling the Holy Spirit, you did a lousy job, Holy Spirit. Mark, no, forget about Luke, forget about John. This is the Jenkins version. This is the Jenkins gospel.
Right. No, I can't imagine telling the Holy Spirit that.
No, this is
that I know better than him how to tell this story.
Right. I mean, this is bizarre. And again, when I look at this guy, and I don't know his, I just know his daddy, I don't know. First of all, just because his daddy wrote that whole series, co-authored the Left Behind series, that doesn't mean his daddy saved either. I don't know about his daddy. But, we'll find out on Judgment Day if his daddy saved or not. I don't know. I don't know what kind, you know, look at all these evangelicals who are into wife swapping and, you know, you got all, they're just evangelicals in name only when, you know, when the scandal hits,
right.
You find out, wow, you know, they were just evangelicals in name only. Because, you know, look at Jerry Falwell Jr. What kind of an evangelical
right.
is he? Right? I mean, so,
exactly.
so I mean, I don't know anything about Jerry Jenkins. All I know is he wrote the, he co-authored it, but I don't know what kind of Christian he was. I don't know, you know, I don't know what kind of daddy he was. Now, I will tell you one thing. It looks to me like the kid was indulged. It looked to me like,
yeah.
like the, you know, they never told him no, that he always had his way. And I can tell you, if you raise a kid like that, you're in for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, he can't take no. He can't take the fact that someone will tell him this is no good. You know,
right.
in life, I can tell you from experience in life, my dad on the farm used to give me projects, right? And my father would challenge me and said, okay, show me what kind of my father would go off to work in the morning, and he would tell me what to do, and he would say to me, "Okay, show me what kind of man you are. You know, when I get back, you'll show me." So as soon as my father would get in the car and go off to work, I knew I had 8 hours to prove my manhood to my dad. Right, and you know, here you are, you're a kid. You want to make your daddy proud. And my dad would come back, and he would see everything, and there was effort. I mean, there was maximum effort, but it wasn't always good.
Mm-hmm.
And my father would say to me, okay, tear that down and start over again, and he would give me a sample of what to do. He said, okay, and he would, let's say if I was putting down a fence line for cattle, a 3 barbed wire fence, right? And I would just go down
right.
the line and just do it. And then he would come back, and if he would kick one of the posts and the whole thing would fall apart, said, no, well, you tried. And I know, and he says, I know you were out here all day. I know you are, because you went far with the wire. But this ain't going to keep the cattle in. You got to
right.
start. So, you know, I would look at it, and I'll say, you know, I really wanted to impress this dude, because I want some money this weekend. But you learn, and what do? You take everything down and you start all over again.
Right.
And the same thing when I went to school. When I went to school and I handed in a term paper, and the teacher would say to me, "Mister, it seems to me like you didn't put maximum effort into this. You got a D." Well, I can't get a C for this. No, a D. Well, how do I bring up my grade? Put in maximum effort. The teacher would say to me, I'll tell you what, go back, make some corrections, and I might give you a C. So now, what's a C? A C is really nothing. I mean, a C? But
right.
I had to bring up my grade. So what would I do? I'll go back
right.
to work on the paper. If you're thin-skinned, you're not going to grow in life.
No, and you're sure not if you can't take constructive criticism. Everything is not meant to hurt you or anything, even if it hurts a little bit, hurts your feelings, you know. You get your paper back and it's bleeding because the teachers put so many red marks on it.
That's it.
But it only helps you get better.
Right, right. That's it, and so life was at every turn in my life. There was nobody patting me in the back. There was nobody cheering me on. There were no angels from heaven taking pictures of me and telling God, "Look at him."
Right.
No, I have people in my life telling me, "You don't measure up. This is what you need to do to measure up. Go back to the drawing board. Work on this. Work on that." Right,
mm-hmm.
And that's what you have to do. You again. And this guy, it seems to me like this guy doesn't like taking criticism, any kind of criticism. And listen, what we're giving him is justified criticism. He deserves this. He deserves the criticism we're giving him because he messed with the Bible and he's messing with Jesus. It's deserving.
That's right.
It's
because
deserving.
So far, the Jesus, and even the apostles we've seen so far are not what they are in the Bible.
They're completely not.
Changed the story around.
They're not. In fact, when you look at there's all kinds of books now. In fact, hold on one minute. I have a book right here. It's written by Craig S. Kenner, right? And it's called The InterVarsity Press, Bible Background Commentary, New Testament. It reads, an indispensable resource for all students of the Bible, accessibly providing the cultural background of every verse in what? The New Testament. Now, when you look at his show, you just know that he's talking to people who live in contemporary America, or the show reflects the mindset,
right.
The culture, the language, the relationship structure,
the idioms, of
21st century America. He didn't consult any Bible background commentary or any sources to tell him what he could do and what he couldn't do in a New Testament context. He didn't do that. And so when you look at the show, you're saying, wait a minute. What?
Who approved this?
Yeah.
He's got a consulting team, but they're probably a bunch of yes men, like you said.
Right. Getting paid to show up in his little videos and, oh, this is wonderful and that's good and, this is accurate and blah, blah, blah. And the answer is no, it's not accurate. It's not. It's just, it's just not. And, and I know you've traveled. I've traveled around the world. You go to different countries. And these people have different cultures.
They do.
Listen, we're talking about people who live in our century. They live in our century, yet they have different cultural practices.
That's right.
Right? And so.
That's right.
Why? You from America? Big deal. This ain't America. This is Trinidad Tobago.
That's right. It is sometimes can be serious consequences if you don't observe cultures or you disrespect someone, even if you're not intending to.
Correct. So this guy he's insulting. And that's why, I look at him and I say, wow, I'm surprised that there aren't more people talking about this guy and his series.
Right. Well, I've seen a few, but not as many as you would hope for, not as many stuff as you could see on, say, Joel Osteen or T.D. Jakes or somebody. Maybe a lot of folks don't know about this or something. There's a few things out. But most of the time you see stuff that's just favorable, even from so-called Christian sites. So I'm like, are these people seeing the same show that I'm looking at?
Yeah. And last week's audio was an outstanding audio because his Jesus character went to Rome, to the Vatican, to have a short moment with the Pope. And he said to the Pope, I'm Jesus. And then Mr. Dallas Jenkins comes up and he says, I'm the executive producer, I'm the author, I'm the and the Pope says, oh, you're Judas.
Yes. They sure he sure did.
Right,
he could have
right.
picked any other apostle, but he picked Judas.
No. He picked Judas. He picked Judas. So, yep. So that's it. I mean, this guy, he is dangerous. Dangerous. Now, when I look at Joel Osteen's series and Dallas Jenkins' series, I would, in my personal opinion, I would think, now, of course, I don't have a scientific survey. I don't have any proof. I didn't do a questionnaire. You know, I didn't take a poll, right? But
right.
If I was looking at both series, if I was looking at the History Channel, change that channel. I would say, no, this is kind of boring. This is poor acting. This is, you know, and the fact that you have those knuckleheads interjecting, you know, those experts interjecting every other minute.
Right.
I would. There's no flow to that series. Now it's a dangerous series. It's, you know, it's got poison in it. But I would say that that Dallas Jenkins is far more dangerous because he does suck you in. He does pull you in.
Right.
There's
it
more talent.
Actually entertaining and the acting is better. The scenery,
yes.
A lot of things about it are better, is better. So
right.
It can pull you in to watch it, like you said.
Correct. Yeah, and that's why I would think it's more dangerous. And the fact that this guy does those little infomercials and he talks about what he's selling and he's got the T-shirts on, and those are subliminal messages. You know, when he's got those hoodies on and he's promoting a difference, and if you don't like it, tough. Those are subliminal messages. You know, even if he doesn't mention the T-shirt or doesn't quote what's on the T-shirt, you're reading it. You're listening to him, but you're also reading what's on there. And you're thinking that that's hip. Mm-hmm. You're thinking, oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah, I agree with. And, you know, we've heard this before, and we heard this a lot in the Joel Osteen series when the experts were saying, and Jesus was a revolutionary, right? We heard that a lot. So, you know, that's basically it. Dallas Jenkins is saying, no, I'm the revolutionary. I'm the one changing things. And so, to me, he's far more dangerous.
He feels that he has the right to take that liberty to change what the Bible says.
Correct. So, yeah, both series are bad. You know, both series are presenting error, but I would say, because, I mean, it is a proven fact that Joel Osteen's series took place, but there wasn't a movement created through it. There wasn't, you know, it didn't catch fire. It's not the talk of the town, but this one is.
Right,
you know.
and he's calling fans of the show the chosen army, and he's not talking about chosen by God.
He's
talking about his show.
Right. Yes. So that's very problematic. Very, very, very problematic. All right, I have everything set up. You tell me when you want to get started.
All right. Well, as stated, we started on episode 5 last week. We saw Nicodemus and John the Baptist, an interaction between those two that we know never happened. John is in prison, but we noted that it's way too early for him to be in prison, so I guess he's going to get out this time. And then we saw a moment between Simon and his wife where he's telling them about Jesus and how he was going to follow him, and just some interaction between them that we know I mean, I'm sure there was some discussion with Simon and his wife when he went to follow Jesus, but probably not like this. And then we left off where we are seeing the eventual apostle Thomas, and we're introduced to him apparently at the, this is, episode is going to feature the wedding ceremony at Cana. But the thing that's confusing to me is about, the Bible doesn't really say when Jesus met and called Thomas. It doesn't mention him in the account of the wedding. And then Thomas is with a young lady that he's traveled with. I guess they make wine, and they're bringing the wine for the wedding that they're eventually going to run out of, that leads up to the miracle. But I don't remember a woman being around, and by the way, this woman is not his wife. I think she's someone he seems to be interested in, but it like you say, the cultures and customs are more modern, contemporary than it is first century Jewish culture. So that's where we left off with meeting Thomas, and this lady's name is Rhema, which this whole thing is just confusing to me. But we stopped at 35:55, so anywhere in there you want to start it up again.
Okay. Let's see, 35:55. Okay, now. I have before me The Chosen Season 1, Episode 5 and 6. Okay.
Right.
So where would you want me to start it?
35:55, or however you want to start it, because we left off with Thomas and his introduction.
Okay, let's start it at 34.
The lamb needs to be there before or after we arrive.
After. They don't have a good place to keep it, so I didn't want it there too early.
But are they going to show up?
With plenty of time for you to roast it your way. Yes.
Wait. There's only 3 jars.
What did they ask for?
Rhema, I am very concerned. We won't be able to get all 3 all the way to Cana intact. I told you, we needed 4 from your vineyard to be safe.
I told you, the wedding family can't afford it.
I would have paid you out of my own pocket.
Thomas, that would almost erase your full margin. Why would you do that?
I mean, if we're a team, right?
I guess Thomas is some kind of caterer now.
yes.
And
yes.
And this girl Rhema, he just said we're a team, and like she was like shocked that he said that. So I guess that's his version of the marriage proposal.
Because
she looks dumbfounded and excited at the same time. Like,
right?
You know. It doesn't sound like a marriage proposal, but that's as close as he can get to one.
Right, and her father would be there, and he would be talking to him most likely.
Right. And in addition to that, this would already be arranged.
Right.
I mean,
wouldn't be traveling alone with him either.
Exactly. This is we're not, you know, September 1st, 2021 in Brooklyn, and, you know, we're going to Manhattan. No, that's no.
Right.
No. Mm-mm. Okay.
Well, I think everything will arrive perfectly intact, especially with how carefully you drive.
I just want to be certain that everything...
That's going to be fine. I'm glad you got some hired help. There's much to do. Oh, Tirza, she's a neighbor. We couldn't afford anyone extra, so she volunteered on her only day off.
Oh, here I was, thinking how lucky you were to have me.
My son just married his love, and I'm surrounded by friends. Couldn't be luckier.
What is he like?
Oh, Sara is lovely and respectful and just wonderful. Her parents, Hela and Abner, are not so convinced.
About Asher?
About Rafi and me as in-laws. The father especially. But he's very successful and influential, so maybe it will be good for the kids' future.
You don't have to grovel to anyone, Dinah. I'll come around.
I should go find Rafi.
I do appreciate it. You heard me tell Eden how grateful I was. I heard your words, but I also watched your movements. I don't know what to do with it. I don't go on long trips. I hold it like this. If I had a stick, I could sling it over to my shoulder.
Yeah. We'll see what the others do.
What if they didn't pack lunch? Would we look stupid? What if it comes off as ungrateful?
I don't know. Maybe it would look like we never traveled with a Messiah before and we don't know what we're doing.
I'm a bit nervous.
Come on, don't be nervous. If you're nervous, I'll come on too strong.
Don't tell me you're not nervous.
I said I was.
You said look, if I'm nervous...
I know what I said. I don't want to let him down.
I don't want to do it wrong.
Come on. We'll probably both do it wrong. It's like fishing. Remember when Dad taught us?
Dad didn't teach us anything. We just sat there
and watched. And then it was our turn and we made our own mistakes. Can you believe this?
Well, you guys are great.
Hey.
Hello.
Have you been here long?
Oh, yeah. Perfect day for a wedding, huh?
Master.
Simon, Andrew, Mary, James, John, Thaddeus. But where is, raining figs.
Figs? For the journey.
Ah, now we won't even need to stop for lunch. Thank you, James.
Yes, master.
Ah, two Jameses. How will we solve this dilemma?
Well, what if, I go by Big James?
Is that acceptable to you, young James?
Yes, I think that's fair, master.
And a sense of justice, too, huh? Then it's settled. Now, to the road, my friend. The bride and groom await.
So now you have Mary Magdalene traveling with the disciples.
Yes.
Wow.
And by the way, we don't even know if Jesus had even met Mary Magdalene at the time of the wedding at Cana.
Right, because we spoke about this last week where one of the things that every Bible school student always has in hand is a book called The Harmony of the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
You need, in fact, Old Testament students, they'll have a copy of the Harmony of 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, because those six books run parallel. 1st Samuel,
okay,
and 1st Kings and 1st Chronicles share information. 2nd Samuel,
right,
2nd Chronicles, and 2 Kings also share information. So you need a harmony of those books.
Right.
You see? And so like you said, at this point, at this time, Jesus had not met Mary Magdalene. And that's a fact. We don't even need to go to the harmony of the Gospels to confirm that fact. That is a fact. Mm-hmm. So the fact that she's
right
there, when Thomas isn't even part of the group, Matthew's still not part of the group, right? I mean, she has she has leapfrogged in time over them.
Exactly.
And that's inconceivable. That's not biblically accurate.
And what we've seen even with the Joel Osteen series, and we're seeing it here, is that Mary Magdalene is being elevated to a position that she did not have according to the scriptures. And yes, she was Jesus cast demons out of her and healed her. And she was a follower of him. And there were women who were like satellite around the disciples and Jesus, but they weren't intermixed like what is being portrayed here. And at the time we even see Mary Magdalene in the Bible, she's just part of a group of several women that would follow Jesus or go where he was from time to time, and or whenever he was in their area, and they would serve him and help him and sit there and listen to him and all that stuff. But it's being portrayed as if she was an integral part of Jesus's inner circle, and that's just not the case. We can tell from reading the Gospels that there was a distinction. There was the 12. And then later he had the 70 and then the 12. And then within that, it was Peter, James, and John most of the time, right?
Right. She wasn't even a member of the 70.
No,
she wasn't even
part of that
group. So, this is, again, and I don't know what it is with the devil, but the devil has this thing with Mary Magdalene, I tell you. In all these movies, the Tom Hanks movie, and you know all those Roman Catholic movies that were just put out where Tom Hanks played a role, Mary Magdalene, you know, she is something special. She is, you know, and of course they're inferring that she was Jesus's wife, but you know the gospel writers don't want to talk about that because you know he's supposed to be the Lamb of God, and the Lamb of God doesn't have a wife. So
you're talking about the Da Vinci Code,
right? Yeah, exactly. That movie, and
Temptation, and
a
bunch of different ones.
Yeah. So
and
again,
even Joel Osteen's show was making subtle little hints to it that there was some special connection between the Lord and Mary Magdalene.
Correct.
And then
Here
we go again.
Here we go again. There it is. So, all right. Let's see what this episode shares.
I think it might be a little gloomier on this
perfect
side. No? It's perfect.
I'm sorry.
Let me speak with the carpenter. I know their language. It will be okay. Will you help me decorate it?
Dinah, please. Let me do this for you.
Mary, I love you, but Rafi and I got what we paid for.
I'm embarrassed how few timbers we could offer.
There's no reason to settle.
Who's settling?
It'll be perfect. There are many other things to do today, Mary.
You said for yourself.
Always the bright side.
Someone has to be.
Okay. Will you start on gathering more flowers?
Of course.
Shalom, Hila.
Dina.
Okay, so now in this little section here, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is, I guess you would say, nosy or
a little pushy.
A nitpicker.
Yeah, she was not feeling the little canopy thing they're building there, or arch, or whatever that thing is that they built for the wedding.
Mm-hmm. She seems to be clashing a little bit with her. Her and her best friend have opposing opinions on things, you know, beginning, you know, whenever there's a scene between the two of them, they are disagreeing on
something. A
little
slightly contentious.
Right.
Not in a
right.
mean, snappy way, but just, you know, there's a little friction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so here is the mother of the young man who's going to get married, and she's meeting the mother of the young lady who's marrying her son, and she went to hug the lady, and the lady pushed back like, you're not on my social level, so we can't hug.
Right.
That kind of
right.
thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, again, when you read the story in the Bible, there's no in-laws, one rich, one poor, none of this.
And the rich ones, you know, acting like snobs to the poor ones, that didn't happen, and I don't know where Dallas gets this from.
Right, yeah. And Jesus, the mother of Jesus, is the best friend of the woman, of the mother, of the son. None of this.
Right.
None of this is, you see, and the problem is, once you start taking liberties, it's like, look, when we used to sit in chapel, and, the student had their first sermon. You critique them on everything. You critique them on the story. You know, if they're talking about, here is Joseph being betrayed by his 20 brothers. No, Joseph had 10 older brothers, and the younger brother wasn't even part of the picture.
Yeah.
Right. So you can't say Joseph's 20 brothers. You can't take liberties with the Word of God. You just can't.
Right. Because the story is in John chapter 2, and the first couple of verses just introduce the wedding and that Jesus, the mother of Jesus, was there, and that Jesus and his disciples were invited. And then it goes right into them running out of wine. That's all it says.
Okay, let's see. Let's see how this develops.
I'm delighted to share this special day. Is Abner here? I'd love to tell Rafi we have time for a special prayer together.
Abner sent me on ahead. He'll come with friends before the ceremony. He asked me to select his table.
Well, we have arrangements for everyone seating already.
Abner likes things his way. I'm here to see that they are.
Even at our children's wedding feast?
Dina, Abner is set in his ways. It's not personal.
Well, it should be.
On certain important occasions, I have been able to prevail on him.
I hope this is important enough.
Dina, Sarah is unwavering in her love for your family.
We love Sarah and all of you very much.
Sarah knows you too. I hope we cook it.
So there you have it again.
Yes, the typical in-law contention is what
right.
it looks like Dallas is doing here, but
yeah.
it's just not in the Bible, and maybe he didn't feel it was any harm to add this in just to make the story flow or to extend the series or drag this story out, I'm sure. He couldn't just start where the Bible actually starts with it, I guess, in his mind.
Look, there's a reason why there's cookbooks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My wife's been teaching my daughters how to cook. And
right.
now when they want to cook certain foods, They go to certain cookbooks, right? Let's say a Norwegian food or whatever. So now you cannot go to a certain recipe and just start, if it's a Norwegian recipe, you cannot start putting in Chinese condiments.
Right.
Why?
It's not going to taste the same. It's not going to turn out right.
Right. You have to follow the recipe. You have to follow the recipe. I remember one time an aunt of mine, she had put too much salt in the soup. And she thought that she could correct it by putting just as much sugar. So when we all sat down at the table and we all got the first spoon of this, we all basically, you know, we all turned, we didn't spit it out, but we were, you know, we're swallowing hard. We're turning, our eyeballs are going backwards, right?
Right.
And so her husband said, all right, let's call the restaurant. Let's get something to eat because this is unedible. And she says, oh, you know, my hand went, I put too much salt, and then I thought if I put sugar in it. No, you see, there's things you can't do.
Right.
You
can't,
know,
take it out once it's in there.
Right. You have to follow the script. Scriptures are the script.
Right.
You can't do this. You can't. You know, My snowblower. I was checking my snowblower today, and so I looked at the oil level. Right, I'm looking at the oil level because I don't want to burn out my motor when I start it up, and I noticed that my oil level was low, and I'm talking to myself, right? Oh boy, this, I'm gonna have to get oil. So my wife went. She's standing behind me, and there's a thing of oil. But that's car oil. I says, I can't put that. I put that oil that's for a car engine into this machine. I'll ruin this machine. You know, I can't go into the house and get Crisco oil or olive oil and put it in the machine. So I said, and now there's a label there that tells you, right, what kind of oil you need. And I write it down, and when I go to the hardware store, that's the oil I'm looking for. I'm looking for that oil, and I want to make sure that you just can't put any kind of oil you want into anything. You got to follow
right.
the manual. You have to. And this guy is messing up the whole recipe because he's sprinkling in everything he wants. And this is just
right.
21st century. This is a played out story about in-laws, you know, hating each other. That's played out already.
Yes.
That's old. That's very old.
Right.
You know? But he has to interject
right.
it. All right.
I know that look.
That's right. That's fine. I was thinking. Mm. If this wedding is worth a journey for you, who has so much to do, perhaps it is also worth a journey for many wealthy Jews.
You believe important and powerful Hebrews will be there?
Possibly.
A very keen son. The most important and powerful person I know will be there.
Yeah? My mother.
Isn't your mother from Nazareth?
You should announce this after the guests, right? There'll be no Romans. Seems like the perfect place to gather more followers. Get this whole thing moving.
It's not my special day, Simon. The special day of the couple, Asher and Sarah. They are blessed to have you at their wedding. Do they know what a remarkable thing it is?
Well, considering that I was the clumsy teenager who cracked my head open at Asher's when he was a child, I don't think he finds me remarkable.
Wow. Jesus was a clumsy teenager that cracked his head?
Mm-hmm.
The Son of God?
Right.
The Son
and
of God?
Not remarkable. Yeah. What is this obsession with making, with having Jesus get injured and hurt and bleeding before the cross?
Yeah, I could, you know, the one thing that I could refer to is that quote, which I happened to stumble across, and I'm going to read it again because it's after you started this series and we started talking about how they're trying to make Jesus human that
right.
I stumbled upon this quote here. And it keeps popping up in my head. And let me see if I can find it. But go ahead. You keep talking while I see if I can find it.
Well, there was also the part where when Simon was asking if there were going to be important, powerful people there, Jesus makes the remark that the most important, powerful person he knows is his mother. That's another type
right.
of remark. The Son of God would not say that, and there's nothing in Scripture to say that he ever said that. I'm not saying he didn't have respect for his parents, his earthly parents, but he wouldn't have said that.
Right. And here's the other, if you notice, Dallas
it's
Jenkins,
always about downgrading Jesus in some form or fashion with these little quips and things. But go ahead, sir. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. No, it's interesting that you mentioned this thing about his mother, because I heard it. But again, you know, I'm a super nitpicker, so
right.
I mean,
that's
you
your spiritual gift.
Right. I gotta let some go by, because if not, we'll never finish. But you know, when you look at look at his portrayal of Nicodemus's wife. Notice this trend.
Right.
Nicodemus's
right.
wife is like Victoria Osteen. When Joe doesn't get it right, she slaps him up. Wake up, stupid! Act your part. You know.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Then you look at Peter's wife. Peter's wife is correcting Peter.
Yes.
Then when you look at Thomas's girlfriend is telling him, look, I know how to manage the books. If you bring another jug of wine, it'll mess up your profit margin. I'm in charge here. That's why instead of four, like you said, we have three. I'm in charge. If you notice,
right.
in a very subtle way, he weaves in these women that are stronger than men.
Right.
Could
and remember, Jesus deferred to Mary Magdalene at the Shabbat dinner that he showed up at her house. Remember that
right.
one too.
Right. Right. So when you look at when you say, wait a minute, there's a theme here. Is this a window into Jenkins's history where his mama was slapping up his daddy and his, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a psychologist or anything like
just,
that.
Or is it just a nod to the feminist agenda? You know, you don't want to offend the women, offend the females that might watch this who could be feminists themselves, even though they're supposedly Christians, because in the modern feminist way of thinking, women were treated unfairly during this time because of the customs and all that stuff. So like you said, he's making this a more modern, contemporary as far as the culture than it actually was in real life. This would not be things you would see during that time. So maybe it's a nod to the feminists, not to ask to
yeah.
not to offend them.
Yeah, maybe he's overcompensating, or maybe you know he wants to pay tribute to his mama. I don't know.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, but I know there's a pattern here. There's a pattern.
But even with some of these other shows, like with Joel Osteen's, they were doing similar things.
Mm-hmm.
With especially Mary Magdalene, but with a few others. I mean, but with Dallas, even the little girl with the Jesus and the Children episode, she was taking the lead over all the boys and answering all the questions right and stuff like
that. Right, right, right. And listen, It's not that Jesus denigrates women, or it's not that Jesus makes women second class. It's not that.
Right.
But portray the story correctly. You know?
Mm-hmm. Ignore all the customs and courtesies and traditions.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so I found the quote. It's in Herbert Lockyer's book, Stay in His Person and Power. Right, we've read it before. It says, by modernism, Satan has succeeded in robbing the church of her power in the world. With a humanized Christ, a mutilated Bible, and a glorified self. Now notice, a humanized Christ, that's what Dallas Jenkins has done to Jesus, right? He's humanized him. A mutilated Bible, and he's done that, and a glorified self. How do we know a glorified self? Because the show is not about Jesus. It's about a glorified Peter or a glorified Nicodemus or a glorified, you name it. It's other people being glorified and not the Lord. So with the humanized Christ, a mutilated Bible, and a glorified self, modernism is bankrupt. Nothing can damn evangelism like modernism, and Satan knows that, hence his untiring effort to create an ever-increasing army of false teachers. And what are the false teachers promoting? A humanized Christ, a mutilated Bible, and a glorification of self. That's what they're doing. That's what this series is all about.
And glorifying self could also be about making Jesus more relatable to us, making him seem more human in his interaction so we can relate to him better. And that's what Dallas says he was doing, to trying to make Jesus more relatable, because in his divinity, he's not relatable to people, in Dallas's mind anyway.
Right. See, Joel Osteen's son put it well when he says, you know, God is taking pictures of me. And then God is showing pictures of me to the angels and saying, look at him. It's like, listen, it's like God is worshiping me, the creature, the sinful creature. This is crazy talk, crazy talk.
That's right.
Okay, here's more.
Did you think much of your childhood friends?
No, he didn't have any.
That's not true.
I stand corrected. He had me. Compulsory service.
I don't remember kids exactly lining up around the block.
Mary, did you think that having brothers would be like this?
There you go. Kids lining around the block. There were no blocks in the first century.
Right. Exactly. That's right.
There were no
they
blocks.
Wouldn't even know that concept, at least not out in the countryside, maybe in some of the more built-up cities, but not out here.
That term block, it was non-existent in the first century.
Mm-hmm.
Non-existent. And that term became popular because if you wanted to know what was 1 mile in a city, they would tell you 20 city blocks equal a mile in the city. That has nothing to do. That has nothing to do with, you know, with New Testament.
Right. And so, why is it that most of these, especially older things that we've seen about the life of Jesus, they managed to portray him in proper context of the time he lived in, but Dallas is just missing it. You know, they use language and different idioms the way they probably were back then. And like you say, with the Passion of the Christ, he was speaking in Aramaic.
Right. Absolutely. And listen, who was really paying attention? In fact, the Aramaic, for many people, they told me it was annoying. It was in fact, a lot of people told me they were trying to block out the Aramaic, and they weren't even reading the subtitles. They were just looking at what was happening to Jesus because that was telling the story.
Right. The pictures matched up with what the Bible says happened.
Correct.
Although the subtitles did get a little tiring at the movies.
Yeah. A lot of people don't like subtitles. It bothers them. They don't like something flashing across the screen.
At least not for the whole movie.
So here, this guy is in plain English, but he's botching it. This is a mess. This is a mess. So think about it. Here you have Mary, and I'm looking at the screen right now. Here's Mary Magdalene. Supposedly, according to Dallas Jenkins, the way he portrayed her was she was a prostitute, okay? So here is a former prostitute, and nobody knows she's a former. Many people can think she's a present prostitute. What is she doing walking with seven eligible bachelors?
Right.
That doesn't even fit the culture of the times. This is crazy. But he gets away with it. He gets away with it.
I always wanted brothers as a little girl.
Soon you'll have 12. Then tell me how you like it. 12? You'll see. Ah, we're getting close now. Cana is just over the next ride.
Well, we had a wedding. It just wasn't like everyone else's. Why not? You know why. I would have gone. I know. If Joseph were here, he would be so proud of you and Rafi. So happy for you.
You don't think I'm overdoing it?
I would have said so.
It's just that Hila's canopy for their son's feast had exquisite and extravagant...
It doesn't even matter. Sarah and Asher will love it.
Have you heard from your special guest?
He's coming. He may bring several others. Is that okay?
Jesus can bring everybody he wants. I haven't seen him in ages. How is he?
He's good. He's...
So now, add to everything that Jesus is, now he's a wedding crasher.
Right. With the Bible says they were invited, but, we're not going to pay attention to that.
Right. We're gonna stop nitpicking. Yeah.
I can't promise that.
I get you.
I'm ecstatic for you. Imagine he's a fine craftsman.
Well, he's not working. He has a calling. I seldom know where it would take him.
Now you see, he's not working.
Jesus
think about
is a bum, like you've been saying.
Right. He's a hippie. He's a bum. He's getting up at 1:30. He has a calling. If I told my father, if I was sleeping in the basement, hanging out to 1 o'clock, getting up late, and I told my father I had a calling, he said, I'm calling the police. You're out of here.
Get you out my basement.
That's right.
Right.
No. He's not working. The work of God is working.
And we talked about this in the last series with Joel Osteen, because she said he has a calling and she doesn't know where it'll take him, but we discussed this before, that Mary, from the very beginning with the angels visiting her and Joseph and all the different confirmations she got about who this child was, she had some idea of a lot of things with Jesus, I would believe. What say you, brother, just to reiterate?
Well, look, she was met by Simeon and Anna when they dedicated Jesus at the temple, right? They both prophesied, did they not? The angel spoke to her personally, right? And told her his name shall be Jesus. He will save, what you will conceive is of the Holy Ghost. That alone, I would know what his calling is.
Right.
Think about it. Samson's parents had the visit, the two visitations from the angel of the Lord. Samson's mother, the first visitation was by herself. The second visitation was with her husband. The angel instructed
right.
them, the messenger of the Lord instructed them as to what Samson would be, how he was to be a Nazarite from his birth, how he would, not touch anything unclean. Okay. That's all they got. And they were not confused
right.
with his calling. They knew what his calling was. Mary got a
right.
whole ton more of information, and she doesn't know. She doesn't know.
Right.
At 12, she finds him in the temple, and he says, I'm about my father's business. She doesn't know. And the kid told her what he was doing. She doesn't know. Please. This is nonsense.
Right. And then she's implying when Mary is talking about her wedding, I guess, she's implying they had some kind of shotgun wedding or something because she was pregnant.
Right. Right. Yeah, this
but
is again.
Would they have just had a regular wedding like normal?
Again, the secret of the pregnancy was between Mary and Joseph.
Right.
No one in the community knew. So all they had to do was, Joseph was going to put her away quietly. Remember, the text says quietly,
right.
without any noise, without any fanfare, without acting ghetto. He was just going to put her away quietly.
Right.
But then he was
didn't
told
tell
by God.
The house like Joel
right.
Osteen did.
Exactly. So they could have had a quiet wedding or a regular wedding. We don't know what wedding they had. The Bible is
right.
silent.
The Bible doesn't
they could have
say.
Had, they could have had a big shindig, for all we know. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But here, we couldn't have one because, and then she does the sign like she was pregnant with a hand over
mm-hmm.
her belly.
Right.
Again, like if God had deprived her of,
mm-hmm.
that she, now, she was labeled and, God deprived her and jacked up her life, and now she's got a bad rep all those years. All of that is nonsense. Like you said,
right.
They got married. That's it. There's no labeling. Okay.
I bet he's handsome.
But he is.
Dinah, they're here.
Moment of truth. I made Rafi spend everything we had left for good wine. So wish me luck.
You must be Thomas. I am Rafi. This is my wife, Dinah.
Many blessings to you on this joyous day. And may I present the finest, most beautiful vintner in all of Galilee, Rema Bat Kafni of the Kafni Vineyards on the plains of Sharon.
It is an honor to meet you at last. You will give my regards to the old scoundrel upon your return. Rema is the daughter of my old friend, Kaf.
The wine is here on time. A good start to a joyous day.
Of course. Thomas is never late. My father sent his warmest regards with this. Breast. In the time Augustus died, cut with seawater, honey from Mount Hermon, black pepper, and pine from Tyre.
Divine.
I certainly won't refuse that. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Oh my. Thank heaven on Arshad's day. Abner and Hila will be pleased. Maybe a little jealousy.
Abner and Hila. I am now in debt because of wine for Abner and Hila.
Gosh. How much is there? Of the special vintage, there's 2 amphorae and 1 of a lesser. Of course, we intend to serve the best wine first when the guests are fresh.
Later, when everyone is stuffed and senses dulled, we'll serve the remaining jar. Do you understand?
Yes, son. It's the oldest trick in the book. We are in good hands.
And I assume the head count is still the same, 40 or so at a time during the week?
Is it?
I'm asking.
I'm sure it's right.
Perfect. Where would you like us to set up?
This way.
Oh, so now I understand why they were introducing the fact that Jesus and his friends were coming, and they only had allotted for so many guests, and now, see, here's the other thing. This
right.
is the other thing that Dallas forgot to mention. He's presenting this as one wedding day, right? He's presenting
right.
it as a single day event. That's an American wedding. Jewish weddings were 7 days.
Okay.
Right? So, you know, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, two big bottles of Tang and a half a bottle of Kool-Aid is not going to cut it for my family.
Mine either.
Right? So, this is...
And see, in the scripture, John even starts it off by saying, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and you know, and all, and so on. So is he,
right.
is that meaning that's when the actual feast began or something like that?
No, and I got to look at the text, but it could probably mean that they arrived on the third day.
Okay.
Of the seven-day
okay.
wedding feast.
Yeah, John 2:1 is when he starts with that.
Right, right. So again, I you know, from and this is why when you look at the parable of the 10 virgins, right? I mean, the bridegroom is going to come, and everyone's on edge because he may
right.
show up at any moment now. And then, you know, once that starts, you know, that goes on for days. The wedding
okay.
goes on for days. It you know, it's not a one-day thing like here in America. And three jugs like the ones I saw in that cart?
They
please.
Would need a whole wagon full.
Please. Please. That makes
Dallas
no sense.
Dallas Jenkins may as well had just dispense with all the ancient scenery and clothing and all that stuff and just made this a like Godspell or something set
right.
in modern times rather than just, you know, why not dispense with all this?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure. And now the brothers and sisters can't see what I saw, but when they mentioned 40, Sarah, who happens to be the mother of the groom, her face got distorted because she knows that they're going to run out of wine. Because Thomas says, is it still 40 people? Because we brought to cover 40 people, but now she knows, you know, talking to Mary and that Jesus is bringing some friends and he can bring as many friends as he wants.
Right.
It's more than 40.
So it's
yeah.
all Jesus' fault they ran out of wine.
Correct.
Maybe Dallas is setting up that's why Mary had to go to him because, you know, you made some extra people. But the Bible says it's clear that they went, him and his disciples were invited.
Right. And listen, when you invite, look, here's the thing. When you invite people, when you Jewish families, oh, it's like, look, it's like present day. I'm not going to embarrass my daughter by only having pigs in a blanket and some, you know, Walmart Coca-Cola. That's,
and
you know,
a bag of potato chips.
Right. No. So again, these people went all out. And that doesn't mean that even though they went all out, stuff didn't run out. We know stuff runs out at a wedding. But
right.
the parents make provisions. Right? You always have a contingency plan for if something runs out. You gotta have a contingency plan. So, All right.
The master of the banquet will walk you through it.
Knock, knock. Can we come in?
Hi, Ima. Oh, how are you?
Oh.
I missed you.
I have missed you. Look at you. It's been a while since
I've been eating. I have been eating. These people have been helping me to eat.
Hi. How are you? Are you good?
James. Multiple demons. I saw it myself.
Okay, so Jesus arrives with his entourage, with his adjutants, like they say in the church. And so
right.
he hugs his mother, and now we shift the scene from, we go back to John the Baptist and Nicodemus, where they're discussing
right.
the miracle. And Nicodemus is trying
yes.
to find out if John was the person who took the demons out of Mary Magdalene.
Right.
They jeered at me from inside her mouth. Nothing could be done for her short of a miracle.
And she won't say who restored her.
He did not reveal his name to her. What? What?
It has begun.
What has?
If he's healing in secret now, the public signs cannot be far off.
Public signs? What? You know him?
You can say that.
What's his name?
Who has ascended into heaven and come back down?
I asked his name.
Who has gathered the wind in his fist?
Called Solomon to me, you wild monger.
Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? Finish.
No, you answer me first.
Teacher of Israel, finish the oracle of Agur, son of Jake. Who has established all the ends of the earth?
What is his name, and what is the name of his son?
Surely you know.
You are careless with Torah. God does not have a son except Israel. Israel is his only son. All of us.
There's yourself.
You know, they'll put a man to death for blasphemy like that.
Who will? You? It'd be a terrible precedent for Rome to adjudicate.
I should never have come here.
All your life you've been asleep. Make straight the way for the king. He is here to awaken the earth. But some will not want to waken. They're in love. Dark. I wonder which one you'll be.
Now, if this man is anything like you believe, or if he exists at all, you should leave this region. Your presence alone puts him in danger.
If you think he needs my help, you've heard nothing.
You think of that interaction between Nicodemus and John the Baptist, who looks like Charlie Manson?
Yeah, right. Well, of course, we know that it didn't happen, and John the Baptist most likely was not in prison at this time. That's the first thing, but it's like, according to the scriptures, when you look at the Gospels and about Jesus' baptism, it seems like John, in this scene, Nicodemus is telling them what happened with Mary Magdalene and the demon, and he recognized, oh, this is the Messiah. But the Bible doesn't say that he recognized Jesus till he saw him. And then he baptized him, and the dove came down, and he saw that and heard the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved son." I don't know. This is crazy. What say yeah. you, brother?
Well, like you said, he's got the whole timeline out of whack because John is not in prison yet.
Right.
John doesn't go into prison until much later. This is too early for John to be in prison. Plus, Nicodemus never went to John for answers. He went directly to Jesus. Read John
That's
chapter
right.
3. He went directly to That's Jesus right. to find out who Jesus was. That's the way the Bible lays
right.
it out. So he's got Nicodemus right. going to the wrong person. He's got the wrong timeline. Mm-hmm. Because, again,
now,
you know.
Nicodemus is going to, Dallas is going to show that, but it's a couple of episodes later before you actually see it.
Right, right, right. But no, this is just, again, this
I
is.
I guess the timeline is kind of throwing me off. Yeah.
Yeah, there's none of this ever happened. You know, and you know, before John is ever thrown into prison, they come to John while he's baptizing, and he says, listen,
yes.
the guy that you baptize, he's a little further up from you. And he's baptizing people too. He copied your ministry, and your group is getting smaller, and his group is getting bigger. And John said,
right.
"Well, that's the way it was supposed to happen. I must decrease that he might increase." And so
right.
John was already in, you know, baptizing, and he knew who Jesus was. He knew that he was the bridegroom. That the bride was the church, right? I mean, John knew this.
Right.
And so, you
right.
know, again, the timeline is just way. He's got things like 2 years too early, a year and a half or 2 years too early.
Well, like
this
John
is,
the Baptist was a career criminal or something, and this is just one of many times he was locked up. Even
yeah.
though the Bible doesn't indicate that he was imprisoned before the transition from him to Jesus, him
Correct.
His ministry was done.
Right, right. All right, here's more.
As long as Obed bring out the olives and the cheeses, set them on the long table in between the loaves of bread and the cucumbers. Okay. Hi.
Am I going mad, or has 40 been the magic number all along?
The head count? Why? Are we over? They always do this. I got food enough for more.
The last count was 80.
You made a mistake.
Maybe by a few. Even if I'm off by 5, the wine.
I did advocate for a fourth. But 3 is still enough. Poor 60.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine.
Amen.
Amen.
Lighten your port, like this. 3/4 full. If they ask you for more, tell them you'll be right back, but guess what? You won't be. Understand?
The guests seem to be happy so far. The servants do not. What are we doing?
Nothing to worry about. You are one of the finest banquet masters we have ever seen. Keep up the good work. Now.
I have an idea. Thank you so much for coming.
Duffy! Dinah!
Hello.
Hello,
Abner.
Well,
This is the best party I've been to in a long while.
Thank
you. You honor us, Adler. We are blessed to have two children, so in love.
I'm happy too. I'll be honest, I was not always happy about this. You may not have known that.
Yes, we know.
You were born in Nazareth, Dinah. Rafi, your people are travelers. And your trade, Rafi, hasn't brought you much success. And well, Asher seems like a nice young man. He has not
yes,
yet...
Yes, Abner. We get it.
Yeah, I don't mean to insult. My family have been powerful traders in this region for years. I believe success has made my generation arrogant.
I lost my train of thought. I thought you said this was crooked.
Looks fine to me.
And this wine is delicious. I must know the vineyard.
Purification water. There's still some left in these.
Dilute the wine. People will notice. Whispers will spread.
If they did, I feel like this family would die of shame.
What about us? We'd be ruined.
It's not a great option, I agree. So help me think.
We could serve the guests extra date cakes, oversalt the food, make them thirst for water. I don't know. This is humiliating.
Let's keep looking.
What say you, my sister?
Well, of course, they were showing the contentious in-law relationship again there when we first started back, and then Thomas and Rhema trying to figure out how to stretch this wine. We mix it with water. Do we do this and do that? And then they just started showing the people celebrating, and that's with the music and no dialogue was mainly showing that. But one scene that in that I just saw was Jesus playing the shell game at the table with the little kids. You know, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Let me read this to you again, and I just pulled this off my shelf only because we started to talk about Dallas Jenkins' ignorance, or whether he's ignorant or he's purposely ignoring,
just blatantly
Bible
disregarding.
Right. So this book is by Craig S. Kanner. It's called The InterVarsity Press Bible Background Commentary of the New Testament. It claims to be an indispensable source for all students of the Bible, accessibly providing the cultural background of every verse in the New Testament. Okay, so now let's go to the John 2 verse, okay?
Okay.
John 2, verse 2. This is on page 268. And again, listen, I know this because what am I doing? I am going to an expert, right? I mean, isn't
right.
that what we're supposed to do? You know, he says
yes.
he has consultants that he goes to, right? Okay.
Right.
In chapter 2, verse 2, it says, weddings lasted 7 days, and hosts invited as many people as possible, especially distinguished guests like prominent teachers. That's why Jesus is at the wedding, why Jesus is a teacher, right? Okay.
Right.
So now we know why Jesus was invited. He wasn't invited because Mary was necessarily his mother. That could have been one reason, right? It could be, uh-huh. although the Bible doesn't say that, you know, they were friends. But another reason would
right.
be that he's a prominent teacher. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 3. To run out of wine at a wedding was a social faux pas that would become the subject of jests for years. The host
right.
was responsible okay. to provide his guests with adequate wine for 7 days. Now, you and I saw the two jugs. It's 2.5 jugs.
Yes.
Now, I could tell you right off the bat, the way my family drinks on my father's side of the family, those two jugs would only be for that side, and they would be screaming because an hour later it would be gone. That's my father's
right.
side. I'm not talking about my mother's side. That's just my – we're not talking about, you know, the person who's marrying my son or my daughter, what their family would be screaming. So notice. If weddings lasted for 7 days, Sister AJ, how could those two jugs be enough?
It would not. Not even close.
Not even close.
It wouldn't last an hour.
And this thing was 7 days long. 7 days.
And from what you're reading there, the commentary is making it clear that knowing that the feast lasts 7 days, they would have made provision for at least
right.
that long.
It says here, the host was responsible to provide his guests with adequate wine for 7 days. You do a wedding with certain kinds of people. And I don't want to mention their cultural background. Now, you know, you invite some people. Okay, I'll show up at the wedding. I'll be there 2 hours. I'll drop the gift off. I'll say hi, and then I'm gone. When there are people that know that there's wine, they're not leaving in a day. They're staying all
right.
7 days.
Mm-hmm.
All 7 days. I know people that would stay 7 days and hope there's an 8th day. Okay, then it goes on to say, the women's quarters were near the place where the wine was stored. Thus, Mary learns of the shortage of wine before word reaches Jesus and the other men. Now, notice how interesting that is, that at the wedding, women were on one side and men were on the other side. This is
right.
why Mary gets the tip that they're short, because this stuff is stored where the women's quarters are. Now,
okay.
that's not in this story. It's not.
No.
Right? Okay. And it says, her words probably suggest that she would do something. Guests were to help defray the expense of the wedding with their gifts, and it seems that their friends need some extra gifts now. Okay, so that, you know, he's providing his particular commentary. All right, so now let's play the rest of this. But as you can see, just turning to the commentary here, and if John says that they appeared on the third day, that means that the wedding was already 2 days. See, it makes sense now. Because, it's day number three. You're supposed to provide wedding for 7 days. By day three, it seems like they had some Puerto Ricans at their wedding. And the Puerto Ricans were just, you know, drinking everything in sight. So, and I know I'm taking liberties because Dallas is taking liberties, but there were some Puerto
right.
Ricans at the wedding, and they just, you know, and that's why on the third day they're already short. They're already short.
Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. But those two little jugs that I saw in that wagon, those two little jugs.
No how, no way.
So he got that wrong. You see, and we're going by what we're seeing now, not just by what we're hearing, by what we're seeing. And there's no way that those 2.5 jugs were going to cut it. No way. All right. Here's more.
They have no idea who sits before this.
To be a child again, yes?
I think we are the lucky ones. They have to go home with their parents tonight. We get to stay with Mrs. Mother.
Where will that be?
Who knows? But then I have learned to stop worrying about those things.
I haven't. It's cold in this region.
Do you think he would let you free?
My brother has many worries. I keep reminding him of when our Abba taught us how to fish. We just sat there and watched until we became fishermen.
We will watch him. And watch and watch and watch. Forever, I think.
I'm going to get more wine.
Get two.
I don't even know why I'm here. It's usually the students that choose the rabbi, not the other way around. And I'm not even a student.
Neither was I. Thaddeus introduced me to him.
How did you meet?
On a construction job in Bethsaida. He hasn't exactly been picking the best and brightest students.
What? He works?
Well, until recently. He's not a professional rabbi.
Yeah, but I thought he has no home and no job.
No permanent home?
He's a stonemason. Like you. A
craftsman. He taught as well. He asked me to follow him. He said he was building a kingdom. A fortress stronger than stone. I believed him.
What were you building in Bethsaida?
A public amenity.
An aqueduct?
No, of something humbler.
What then, man?
It's not proper to say in front of a woman.
I have seen and heard things that would turn your blood to ice.
A latrine? Wait, ice?
Yes.
Our master building a privy.
A job is a job. I was cutting stone for the retaining wall. He was building a ramp of cedar planks so the crippled and the elderly could get to it without climbing the steep steps.
But why didn't he heal them so they could mount the steps themselves?
He's always saying his time has not yet come.
Calling your name, the catch of the fish. Why was it his time for miracles then and not others?
Because those were private. He hasn't shown his signs to others publicly yet.
What's keeping him from making his ministry public?
The wind blows to the south or to the east, and you cannot say why.
A latrine. Yeah, we better not spread that around.
He doesn't hide where he's from.
Oh, don't tell Andrew. Yeah, he'll be surprised.
And now, friends, the dance of Miriam.
Thomas? Talk to me.
Just watch out for the frogs this time. Oh, sons of Jonah!
We were just looking for you. They're dancing to the song of Miriam, and we thought you wouldn't want to miss it.
Of course. Let the three of us show them how it's done, huh?
I don't think that's such a good idea.
Why?
Andrew has four left feet.
Four?
Why for?
When he tries to dance, he looks like a donkey walking on hot coal.
Oh, Andrew, do you deny it?
I've never seen a donkey walking on hot coals. Actually, that would be a terrible thing to behold.
My son.
Ah, Andrew, you see, even my own mother will join us in the Song of Miriam.
They've run out of wine.
But it's only the first day.
Yes, and it's all gone. Not a drop left.
But it's only the first day?
Mm-hmm.
That's not what the account says.
No, it doesn't. It implies it was at least the third day before that happened.
Right.
But that, maybe that's a nitpick again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a nitpick.
And did you see Mary kind of schooling the other guys?
Right. Absolutely.
And saying,
school,
and
yep.
saying that you, that she they could say inappropriate things around her because she's seen and heard more than them.
Right, right. And, of course, that would not, again, that would not line up
no.
with first century Jewish culture. Now, if you were in Rome, if you were among the Romans, the pagan Romans, okay, that's a
right.
given. If you were among the Greeks, not a problem, but not around Jewish women.
Right.
Sorry.
That's,
no.
That's right.
And Mary would be with the women in the women's quarter.
Would be with the women, yes.
Right.
She would.
She would not be with the men over there talking and, you know. Okay.
Why are you telling me this?
We can't let the celebration end like this. And Etcher's family humiliated.
Boys, go join the others. I'll be right there.
Just like in the last one, they're trying to make it seem like Mary had to push Jesus a little to get him to go ahead and do this favor for them.
Right. Right. Amazing. 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 All right. You see, this contradicts her actions now, which is what's stated in the Bible that Mary said to the young men. Now notice, she's saying this to Thomas and his girlfriend. But that's
right.
not who Mary spoke to, right?
She spoke to the servants, plural.
Right. Right, okay? And it wasn't Thomas, and it wasn't his girl, Rhema, or whatever her name
right.
is. Okay.
Right.
So if you look at this, what's amazing, this is mind-boggling, because this guy mm-hmm. He's just distorting the life, the ministry of Jesus, and
his character
I,
and nature.
I'm just without words. I mean, I'm fuming. I'm mad. You know. Now here's the thing. She tells these two individuals, which are not in the original story, whatever he tells you to do, obey him, right? Now,
right.
At this point, this Mary mirrors the Mary of Scripture because she fully knows who her son is.
Right.
But 10, 15 minutes ago, that Mary says...
He hadn't a clue.
He didn't have a clue.
Right.
And that's what gets me mad. See, that's what, now. Well, let's play the audio because we don't have that much time, and I want to squeeze in a little. But as you can see, I mean, in one minute this is Clueless Mary, and the next minute this is Know It All Mary.
Right, right. Same with the last one. Exactly.
Yeah.
Fill these jars with water. I'm not sure you heard her clearly, but we've run out of wine, not water.
These are similar in size to your amphorae.
The prudent monks, yes. Equally filled all the way to the brim.
You're a very responsible person, aren't you?
We are in a crisis, and I was led to understand you have a solution.
Do you know why jars for purification rites are made of stone?
What?
You heard me. Because the stone is pure. Less likely to stain or break, and it can't be made unclean. Yes. Fill these jars with water all the way to the brim.
Why?
You heard him. Start drawing water. Quickly. Tell anyone you find to stop what they're doing and help.
From the directions you have provided, I see no logical solution to the problem.
It's going to be like that sometimes, Thomas.
What did you say?
I do not rebuke you. It's good to ask questions, to seek understanding.
There's no time for this.
I know of a man like you in Capernaum, always counting, always measuring.
That's my job. And the people will think I have not done well tonight.
Join me, and I will show you a new way to count and measure, a different way of seeing time.
Go with you where? I don't understand.
Keep watching.
I do hope you're enjoying yourself.
Where are the servers?
I don't know, but I'll go find them right away.
It is far past time for another round of wine. The last one was nearly an hour ago.
Yes, well, you see...
Surely there is more common, Dinah.
I'm very sorry. Yes. Do not worry. This will be taken care of immediately.
Next round of wine right away. Thank you for reminding me of the toll in the control.
Was your father a stonemason as well?
Smith. I think it broke his heart.
Well, we're going to have to stop it there. We're running out of time. But explain this to us, Sister AJ, before we close out the broadcast.
Well, it's back to the in-laws again, fussing about where's the wine. I want more wine, the father. And so then Mary comes to the rescue and say, oh, we'll be bringing it out soon. So there was that scene. And then this one that we're getting ready to leave off on was Mary and another of the male disciples talking. And then the exchange with Thomas where he was talking about filling the water pots and all that exchange never happened. that once Jesus just told them, fill up the jug, the jars, and they filled them up, and that was that. So I think Dallas just dragged this out more than it needed to be.
More than it needed to, and all of this is made out of thin air. Of course, he's presenting Thomas here as a doubter.
Right.
I mean, and of course we know that there's a doubting Thomas, but that's not the way it happened.
Right.
So we're stopping it at the 1 hour 4 minute mark. 1 hour 4 minute. And we'll get back to this. But as you can see, Saints, this is pure nonsense. Pure nonsense. Great show, Sister AJ. I'm going to stay mad an extra week. I have no choice but to stay mad. But it's a righteous anger. It's against this heretical series, and great show.
Exactly.
And you have the last word.
Well, brother, we'll be praying for your safe travels and return home this weekend, and try not to get too sick of those jackass donkeys and bishops that
That's
are going
right.
to be there.
That's right.
And thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. God bless, and bye-bye.